Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's
It will sell. Wait for me.
Running rings around.
Okay, good. So I just want to introduce the program and just give a little feeling to what you may have missed on loving your enemy. And I've been saying that the enemy we're fighting is not a person. It is acting something dark, acting through people. And there should be, to counter that, something bright and light, which overshadows the deepness and blackness of other people's sentiments and feelings. So there are, in order to deal with the darkness, the evil, the blackness of the enemy, you need to have its opponent inside you. If they are evil, then how do you, as a mere person with emotions, deal with it? You can be as brave as you want to be, but it still will not overcome the overcomer. So what you need to do is start as a human being with your wife. Let's say, gentlemen, your wife. So your wife is difficult, right? Or your son is difficult, or your daughter, whatever it is. But it's good to start at home because misery starts at home. All the sickness on earth sprouts from, you know, the man-woman relationship. Whether you're married or not, you're living with each other or just, you know, messing with each other. All the misery comes from that. To love those who love you, that's what basically, to give a feeling to a person who gives you a feeling is similar to love those who love you. Do not elite thieves and robbers love thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers love thieves and robbers means they only make each other worse. To love those who love you is codependence, and all that happens is one emboldens the other, and the emboldened one causes them to be an appeaser, and then it can reverse. The outrage of being an appeaser and being a slave and not being able to please somebody makes you angry, and suddenly it could happen that the bully now becomes the appeaser to what was once the appeaser. And that's all there is in this world. And then there's pleasure. And what is pleasure for? Escape. All that stuff. It gives you feelings and takes away your conscience. The healing presence of your conscience. That's what it does. And the more pleasure you get, and the more pleasure you give others, like Robin Williams, who was a pleasure giver. Not that you shouldn't have, you know, entertainers, but his entertaining was an appeasement for his what was missing in himself. And so he acted out a part that made everybody happy and make them laugh and relieve them of their troubles. It's all artificial, really, because life itself has its laughs and funs and whatever. Life itself, you come to live in the Roy Master's house and the Roy Master's family, it was his jokes all the time. Everybody was always laughing all the time by natural humor. Natural humor. So I won't tell you what kind of humor it is, but the point is, it's natural humor. And it happened to be the condition that we're always laughing. And then we're serious. But there's no feelings. Happiness is not having feelings. That's it. I can laugh without a feeling. I don't need a feeling to make me laugh. I don't need a feeling to make me happy. happiness is neither feelings, neither anger or love. Because anger produces fear. Perfect fear is not made perfect in love. And what does that mean, not made perfect in love? Because fear is anger, hostility, judgment. You just name all the various names for that, and it's quite a litany of words. All right, we'll be right back. So, I'm not trying to make you without... I'll tell you in a minute when we come back. 800-866-8883. That's the number of the program on the to call me. And the address if you want to make a donation to the foundation.
By the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, call 1-800-877-3227, or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
The enemy we are fighting is not a person. It's a spirit that operates through the person to make you fearful. That's it. And so that was the subject of my first hour. And I have two callers waiting right now. So they probably who are listening to the program and probably will have, you know, something to say about the things I've been saying. I'm looking for intelligence in this world. I'm looking for people who have problems and are resonating with what I'm trying to say. But hopefully you will call me at 800-866-8883 to tell me what is the shape of your problem, what does it look like, what does it feel like. And that's all. Tell me the name of the doctor gives it to. The doctor gives it. And then I will have a clue as to what to look into your head and show you what you didn't see or you didn't want to see. For which reason, if you don't want to see, you lose your eyesight. And if you don't want to hear, you lose your hearing. So on and so forth. As a man thinketh, so is he. And you'd be surprised how powerful that is. Anyway, I'm Roy Masters. We're going to take our calls now. Sal in New Jersey, thank you for being patient.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you. Okay, what can I do for
whatever, I'm 60 years old and I first found out about you in 1990, whatever good has come from my life and how far I've made it has a lot to do with the thing that I've learned from you. So
that's very nice. Thank you. I'm glad you have. I'm glad. Yeah, glad.
I greatly appreciate it. One of my favorite quotes, I don't always give you the credit, is when you corrected Descartes and said, "I'm aware, therefore I am," you know, as opposed to "I think, therefore I am."
No, would you say that again? Because I'm not hearing that clearly. Would you just say it a little bit more slowly?
Okay. One of my favorite quotes of yours is not "I think, therefore I am." I am aware, therefore I am.
Oh, I see. I forgot that. But yes, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Well, it's now my favorite quote.
At the dinner at the breakfast table, I once asked my daughter, I said, "Sweetheart, can you tell me the difference between thinking and awareness?" And she said, oh, I know, Dad. I says, "What is it?" She says, "Thoughts are what go through your head, but awareness is what you see."
I think she's smart. See, children children lose that in school, and they lose themselves through the wickedness of culture.
I told her it took me 40 years to understand that, and she did it in 7.
But I've been saying kids to see things, and when you were a kid, you could see things better than you can now, but slowly but surely, you're coming back to what you lost.
Well, the reason I'm calling is that the last couple of years have kind of been a doozy, where I lost my wife to cancer in 2007, And she left me with my daughters at 7 and 8 and a half years old.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of a trial.
It is. I see it.
So I kept my nose to the grindstone. I'm in business. I own rental property, and I was a general contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly I shifted totally into the real estate. And then things went bad, and now things are finally starting to get good again. But anyway, I decided that I wanted to start dating again, maybe, you know, because my children are now, you know, with their friends, you know, a lot. And
how old are they?
They're 16 and 18.
All the more reason you keep an eye on them. And
I do. I really, really do. But it's beginning that I want to, you know, I'd like to have my own life, you know? And so,
well, you've got to be careful that your girlfriend or the lady you meet is going to have your life instead of live her life through you.
Well, and I hear that one, but I told Dave, I said, my God, I cannot believe the ugliness of what's going on.
Yeah, let's not go on there. That's running away from what I want to say about what your wife, because I know you've called me before. You mentioned your wife died from cancer. And yes. how old was she?
She was diagnosed at 44 and she died at 47.
Yes, see, but the thing is, this what tells me a lot. See, was your wife an appeaser?
Oh, God, yeah. She was terribly codependent with her mom and her two sisters.
Yeah, and she tends to love you in a way that makes you want to give her love.
No, I wouldn't accept that.
But that's what she does. I know you don't accept it, but that's what she does, correct?
Yes.
Yes, sir. So what's happening, she's giving her life, her life force, to others that many of them don't return it. And then if she doesn't get satisfaction from someone saying what a wonderful person she is in some way, to give her a sense of fulfillment and appreciate and see that appreciation and fulfillment as love from God or
exactly.
To God, basically. You see, this is a sickness. This is a mental sickness.
Her mother took herself from her.
What was it?
Her mother did that to her. Her mother was a horrible woman.
Well, she made up her mind. That is the story. If a mother was a horrible woman, in her early years, when she was little, something would say something like this to her head. A dark side would say to her, "When I grow older, I'm going to be the bestest mother I will ever be." See, like that. But it's the dark side that talks to her that way. So it makes her an appeaser because the mother has drained all the life out of her. Unconsciously, she's going to give the rest of her life to other people, hoping that they will love her. But all they're doing is emboldening the hell in her, feeding the hell, feeding the desire, the need to be loved. And in that desire to be loved, she gives her energy to those who she thinks deserving. And many people take that. But do not give her back anything but a sense of worthless worth. So in other words, the love she gives, and the love is life force, and the love she gets back doesn't do her any good because it's a lie.
Yeah.
See? And her love is a lie. She thinks she's loving by giving of herself to others. And even if others appreciate it, it emboldens her to give more of herself. She needs more of that stuff. And the minute she feels better about herself, she feels worse. And then she feels like she has to try harder to be more loving. And damned if she gets it. That's a waste of her energy. And damned if she gets the approval, because it enables her to keep doing it and never stop. That's what happens.
And if you didn't give it to her, she'd become like a raging monster.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and I would try to stand firm, calm, patient. And
oh dear.
And eventually she would come around. She would come around. but it was like being a whipping boy. You know, I wouldn't hit her. I'm physically superior to her.
But I have to tell you this: it's all over, and you weren't equipped at that time to really deal with it, and that's a sad thing. I got a similar thing with my wife, but she's not quite that way. She has a love-hate thing with me for over these years. I'm not, but I don't get feelings. I don't give feelings. So that's the problem. She wanted a feeling of love, and I can't do that because even though she hears me talking about it all the time, she's programmed since as a child with a father who fake loved her, and he was a dirty old man. But she loved the father because the father gave her presents and gave her attention, and she's little dances for her, for like little Tommy Tucker sing and dancing for her supper. And the point is, she's projected that on me over the years. It all secretly, loving, hating me, but you couldn't see it. I could see it, but she couldn't. The thing is, then she ended up with, you know, problems with her mind. And forgetfulness and that kind of thing is the name for that too.
Well, the problems come when they don't want to be honest with themselves or be willing to see.
That's correct.
Yeah, because I would notice that about my wife, and I would like sometimes when she would have like a really bad monthly, sometimes she'd go through them. I wouldn't even know it, but I, all of a sudden, a hurricane would kick up over nothing, and I
understand.
Stand there.
The mother comes out.
Oh my God!
Yes.
And I'd say to her, are you feeling okay, doll? Is it that time? And she'd scream at me. And
but the worst thing you can do is call her darling. Well, don't ever use that word, call her darling or dear. It's demeaning. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. You talk to her not as a darling and not as a dear, you know. And don't use the honey thing.
I'm an observer, you know, and just be dispassionate. Just be aware.
Well,
and let your own conscience catch her, you know?
If you are telling me the truth about being an observer and not playing, she may hate you for not yielding, giving her love. Give her love to other people, but not
that's
you. And be angry with you because you're the one that's supposed to love her back.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Yes, my wife did the same thing, you see.
And these, vilified me.
Yeah, that's right.
Just before she started to die,
the
last 6 months, she turned on me, and I couldn't understand it because I stood as a barrier between her mother and her sisters, and she grew. She really did. She would meditate and read, and we'd read the Bible together. Not like a programming. We discussed the scriptures, what they meant.
I know, but we went off the track just right then. You just went off the track. She would look for other people who played up to her, and reward them. See,
yeah. That's and then I became the monster at the end.
I know. Is that true? That's true, isn't it?
And then what happened? Just before she slipped into a coma. I mean, for the last 3 weeks of her life, I had to carry her. She couldn't walk or anything. And she got out of bed as if everything was okay. And she got on her knees and she apologized to me for all the things she had done. And I looked at her. And, you know, I was just trying to get through it without, you know. I knew she was going to pass. And then I had to move on to my children, you know. And she said, I'm so sorry for the things that I've done. Could you ever forgive me?
Yes.
And I said I did, but deep down inside, I said to myself, how much could a guy take? You know, I'm doing
what
this.
What does that mean? Wait a minute. Let me just... So deep down inside, she's saying she's sorry, she's going to die. And you're saying something about deep down inside what? How much can a man take? So you seem like you're slipping there.
Maybe I was. I mean, I'm not perfect.
No. Let's talk about it, because this is important.
I was horribly enraged.
I
stayed by her for 3 years while she died. I was always faithful to her.
But how does anger help her? She came from a terrible mother. Now she's got it. But deep down inside, even if you haven't expressed it openly, to hate her for that is not good for you. And now you have to look for becoming like her. You have to be very careful now, because when she died, she put a little piece of herself in you, but not purposely. It was the way you reacted to her need for, to say sorry, because in your naughty mind, you said, I've been all these years putting up with it. Now you're telling me you're sorry. And so you're making a judgment on her. And so you've got to be very careful you don't end up in the same grave as she is.
Well, I see that, and I saw that.
Well, give it a thought, because I've got to talk to another gentleman. You can call me again. I can't leave the gentleman here waiting. All right. Thank you, Sal. Call me again, because I know you called me before, but I got you this time a little bit. All right. Be right back. Okay, so let me see. I make a commercial? Support my program? You know, I just want to say to my audience, I know we're just, if you've got the same old commercial saying, please give my, you know, donation to the foundation. Is it really? Well, let's just use that then. Okay, thank you very much.
How to deal with stress properly, and all of your other problems will begin to fade away.
Thank you for all the truth you said. And since I listen to you regularly, I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars. Married. Oh, we are still married, almost 30 years. Listening to you, I got so much better as the years passed. Our daughters never did pot, never got drunk, never were promiscuous. Both are married, one to a soldier, one to a Marine. We're that blessed thanks to you waking just one of the parents up.
Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know.
Oh, that's very good. I'm glad I changed my mind. That was a nice... But that is a typical caller. You know, we have lots of calls like that, varying. I always really like that. I'm glad that, you know, you didn't do it and I didn't do it. Thank you very much. So I hope people will understand, listening to my program, you get value, and but you get the value from someone paying it forward. See, so that's what I'm trying to say. So if you will pay it forward, what you have got from this program, I can continue my little mischief on this radio program. All right, now we're going to go to Great Scott in Los Angeles. Hello, Scott. What can
Hi, Roy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. I heard a sniffle, I thought, but anyway.
Oh, no. I rarely ever get a cold, but my voice is hoarse, I think, because I'm getting old. That's it.
You're not getting old. You're getting better.
Thank you.
An old saying. Anyway, you hit a really... While I had a question that... I'm just going to change phones really quick.
Okay.
My other one is losing its battery.
Okay.
So can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I can.
Okay. The original question I ran by the screener was... I consider myself a seeker. And I've heard you talk about, like, you're still learning things and stuff in your videos. It's Sunday talks. You're still learning.
Oh, yes. Every time I see a glimpse of what the person that's talking to me doesn't see, intuitively, it comes out of me naturally, and my mouth teaches my ear. See?
So you just speak, you just open your mouth and out comes a conversation, right?
That's right.
That's interesting.
It comes from nowhere.
I knew that, but I just never knew that about you.
Well, what's the most boring one is the one I already know. I know how that is.
The guy that sits there and listens too much.
Yeah,
doesn't say anything.
Yeah, so one was something difficult and then I catch it.
That's funny.
So I have intellectual knowledge, but only through my mouth teaching my ears.
You keep your eyes open and you don't let anybody pull the wool yes, over your head or whatever.
So what can I do for you?
Well, it's almost like the problem's gone away. I was kind of a you mentioned something while I was on hold about the spiritual world.
Yes.
And you said that fear and love are a feeling, an emotion.
Yeah, any kind of feeling, any kind of sensation that distracts you from seeing what you need to see. A pleasure is dangerous. I can enjoy things, but I don't have a feeling of pleasure that kills conscience.
See. Okay, and for somebody that's grew up maybe differently from you or not as gifted, the process could
No, you're just as gifted. You're just as gifted as anybody. I don't have an education. I don't have an education in my subject. The psychological stuff, I'm light years ahead, but I never went to school.
Light years ahead. I like that.
Yeah, light years.
But you're brilliant. But you know, so are a lot of people. Lawyers, you know, pastors, rabbis, they're all brilliant.
Yeah, but they're brilliant educational-wise. That's not a shining light.
That's what I wanted to get to. When you're coming from the spirit or intuition, is that more in the, you mentioned something in your meditation about the solar plexus.
Well, let me just say it differently, and then you could come to the solar plexus, but there's a light within you. And Jesus refers to that light when he criticized the Pharisees. He says, you bunch of so-and-sos, he said in his own way. He says, you
see. And
he see.
Said it without reservation.
That's right, without reservation. He says, you see, but you don't perceive.
And that
and
took a
hear.
Lot of guts to speak up to those guys.
No, it didn't. It was natural.
But didn't he have any fear?
No, he doesn't have any fear. He doesn't know what fear is.
Well, that's what I'm sort of getting at. How do you talk so boldly to people that could, you know, have the power to?
I don't want to boast. I don't want to sound like I'm boasting, but I don't. I have, but he has me, my spirit. The spirit that acts through me is counter to the spirit that lives in other people. See?
And what about animals? What about like a lion or a gorilla?
What makes you emotional opens the door to darkness and to fears and doubts. And
that's the dark side?
Yes, that's the dark side doing
that. Okay, and are you just saying don't play in the wild? Don't play with wild animals or what?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about, you know, human beings who live off the stress of energy, who function from energy, become slaves. And the result is evolution. No, when I say evil, E-V-I-L. Evolution.
Yeah.
It's downward transcendence. When you're responding to a person who is mentally ill or crazy or wicked, see, or doing bad things purposely or not realizing they're doing it. I look at everybody as, if I might use a phrase, as a piece of talking furniture. It's kind of amusing. It isn't amusing, but the only way I could say it is, how can a talking furniture bother me? That's how it looks like to me.
Okay, I get that point.
See, I try to find a way, a metaphor.
But dealing with animals, the animals are going to be animals.
But you won't be afraid of animals. Animals, you know, they have in India, people who have knowledge, perhaps such as I have, that sit as in payment for protecting the village from wild animals, tigers, lions, and they sit on and keep them away. It's an energy field, and animals respond to that energy field, like the dog whisperer. He can do to what with dogs what the owner cannot, see, because they're involved with that dog.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
It's time to face the facts. If you don't conquer stress, stress will conquer you. Dr. George Hader, psychiatrist and diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
It's the only approach that I've ever seen in the whole field of psychology which allows you to become independent, which doesn't just set you up to take the next course in whatever type of psychology that you may be studying. It truly teaches you how to understand yourself and make decisions on your own and gradually grow as a person, become more confident and more effective.
Be still and know. Visit FHU.com and download the concentration exercise entitled Be Still and Know. Be Still and Know is rooted in ancient biblical principles that help you fight those unseen forces that up until now you have not understood. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. Be Still and Know and begin a new life free of fear, worry, and struggle.
Untold thousands have acquired helpful insight into their lives through help from the Foundation of Human Understanding. Your donations and continued patronage allow us to continue our work to improve the human condition. Through our radio extension of Advice Line with Roy Masters and our website at FHU.com, we will continue to offer answers to the tough questions that life presents. Great inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation. Roy Masters offers his meditation exercise titled Be Still and Know on the Foundation's website, FHU.com. Now you can release the binds that tie you, learn to break those unhealthy addictions, overcome anger, rage, and insecurity. It all begins with a proper mindset. The Foundation website offers you the gateway to a more meaningful existence. Inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation, titled Be Still and Know at FHU.com. You can also call the Foundation Monday through Friday at 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, if you listen to my program, I'm going to come back to my call in just a minute, Scott, just a second. If you listen to me carefully, I can tell you this, I've never lost a war. I didn't start. Never. Only time I ever became overcome was, got beaten, was when I started. Because I was so good at overcoming the overcomer. See, so I got thrown down the stairs with broken broken ribs. And I said to my kids, see, it serves me right. Because I'm so good, I thought it was me. And then when me started to want to take the fight to that other person, then I got whipped. And that was my lesson. But other than that, I never lost a war. I didn't start, ever. And the reason why I'm saying this, because I opened one of my articles, and it says, "Be forbear to give way to rage, because anger and fear-based doubt are two sides of the same coin. Never intimidate or be intimidated, and you will confound the savage beast and become a better person in the process of it." All right. So, Scott, did you hear what I'm saying? That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you are. And that's why people call you, because you are light years ahead on that. And that does, it brings me back to my question about the enemy you said, which was hate or fear. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening. I didn't quite understand. You slurred the voice. Could you say that again?
I'm sorry. Then you tied that in with like you're a watchman, and that you've even crossed the line where you got a little cocky and you took on
too much.
That's
right. It was a lesson.
I get it. So you're like a watchman, like in India. You watch out for the enemy.
That's right. And keep the animals away.
And that's what you have taken on as your, or maybe that's your job.
But my whole life is intuition. My whole life. I've written God knows how many hundreds of books. I mean, if I put them all together, there'd be 100 at least. There's only about 15 available right now. But I've also got interested in physics. And I've written a physics paper that took me 30 years. I know how the universe is created. I understand all the things they don't understand. And so I'm just waiting for someone to take me up on that. That's all.
Well, I like the position you take. Although you admit you're not perfect, you've made some mistakes, but you learn.
Oh, they left those behind a long time ago.
I hope so. But are you ever tempted to make that same mistake?
No.
Thrown down the steps or whatever.
Oh no, that's no, never. That was, you know how many years ago? That's 50 years ago.
Oh, that's, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, some people make the same mistake over and over.
No, I just see, my whole life is seeing, oh, I see it. Oh, I see it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I see it. It's just natural. Oops, there it is,
amazing.
And it goes away. Oops, it goes away until there's nothing to go away.
Well, how come you weren't running for president?
Because I'm British by birth. And
oh. Well,
and I'm not smart enough in politics to play that role.
Well, you could be governor.
Yes, because I have lots of common sense. And, you know, if anybody asked me, you know, what would you do if you were a governor or something, I said, I don't know till I get there.
And that's why they don't vote for you.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Besides all that, the enemy is...
Or the adversary. Is in a person.
An adversary is the enemy.
It's the adversary in the enemy that's going to get to you. This is how it works, and it makes this metaphysical, and not psychological or psycho illogical. The only way you can become psycho illogical is to overreact to things and not know how to be any otherwise. So, now I forgot what I was going to say.
You were going to say something about the spiritual.
Yes. Thank you for that. It's exactly, you put me right back on the track again. The way it works is evil's clever, cunning, and it lives through people. And it lives through your adversary, for which reason his body is being used as a shield for the purpose of the darkness between good and evil. And so when you if you have a psychopath, or you have a person who's deranged in some way, it's very hard to understand whether he's a real psychopath or he's just an extension of it. And that is sort of a way to say that evil is in all of us. A dark side lives in every human being on earth. There was one in me, and I will tell you a story about that later on. And see, but the reason, how can I say this? I'm going to sort of stuttering just a little bit here, just to make a point. The evil in your adversary, you have to kill, in a matter of speaking, before it kills you.
Is that part of loving your enemy?
Yes. If you love your enemy, he takes the first blood. The person who brings forth first blood, meaning he gets you angry, he gets to you. But if that first blood, the shock of that first blood is neutralized by the light of a light heart, person with a light heart has at the counter from the other dimension. Human beings are meant to live not from emotions and not from being angry and not from stress, but he must be driven by an energy field that contains all the information. Just like when you're angry, when somebody's angry with you and you feel the anger, what comes across with the anger are behaviors. And these behaviors are always the same, causing you to doubt, to fear, to overreact and fight back, or to go along, to get along, all the usual avenues, and then imprint upon you the kind of life you must live. So you can turn an ordinary person into an ISIS. And you can turn an ordinary person to an acrobat. You can turn a person to make his life, you can put into that person's mind something that the dark side wants to put you in. Whatever the dark side, he will put you in a category to be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, whatever it is, that is a driving force. See, and it's not thoughts of your own. I have successfully driven away every effort I started off as a diamond cutter, but that's how I made a living. But I left behind that living because I had learned something, that my job was to help people to come alive from the darkness. So let me see if I can put it this way. So the whole idea behind a person who's intimidating you is to get inside you as someone got inside of him or her. And you go back to all the generations, and it comes through the generations. And this person...
That's where the stress factor comes in, right?
The what factor?
That's what stress is.
I lost my earphone just for a minute. I'm going to put it back. Say it again.
I'm sorry. That's what stress is?
That's what stress is. So somebody putting their will into you, but is not their will because the will has them. And when you get willed and programmed, then the will has you too. Until the will of the world controls everybody.
So it's a stress-based spiritual problem.
It's a stress-based spiritual problem. So in other words, the kind of stress isn't the stress of rain and floods and wild lions and things. It's not the same thing. You see, it is something inhuman, and it uses willfulness and cruelty to stress you into submission. And the only two choices for you is to fight back or give in. But let me give you an example.
Scott. But,
yeah, I want to give you, what is that, the Black Lives Matter? Now, that could have been stopped a long time ago just by saying, for everybody saying, yes, it's true, Black Lives do matter, and that's the end of it. But when the minute you say, well, white lives matter also, then immediately you've responded to it. And that's all they need to keep on making that bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until we give in to what they want. Just
so that's what you're calling a driven force, which is
as simple as that.
Not a godly force.
Not a godly force, see?
Okay.
So you can, so I make it godly. I said, you know, right? You actually, you that makes sense. Black lives do matter. And that's it. If we all said that, nothing would have happened.
So that's what you mean about when the enemy strikes like that, when you're we're not meant to live under those conditions, those stressful conditions.
No,
when
you know, the truth of the matter, trials and tribulations are very important. You're not created to live in a paradise. You're created to prove who you are and who you belong to. And Adam was the only one who ever sinned. Therefore, sin, and through one man's sin, spread through spread from generation to generation. How did it say? Through one man's sin and death through sin, spread through the human race. You listen to, you read that statement through one man only. He's the one that sinned, and he's the one that made excuses. It got thrown him out of God's paradise, okay? And so the human being that came forth from his loins carried with it sin. In other words, how can I say that?
Like father, like son.
But yes, but yes, like the father. Well, that's very well said, actually. It's better than I could. I want to remember that. It's well said. It's the father being the dark side.
So Cain actually was following his sinful father instead of like Abel, who followed, skipped that and followed God.
Well, you can see the very first, the effect of that is Cain kills Abel. And is why we have passing through all the generations. Some people survive it, and some people yield to it, to the evil. Some people overcome the evil, some people are overcome by evil. But ideally, if we all knew how to deal with evil by not hating the hurter, that's it. Not to react or overreact to the hurter. If we all understand that being upset is the goal of evil in that person, and if you face a person who does not realize that they have been programmed to hurt you, and you hold your ground, the energy of him to you becomes the energy of you, your good to him, from him to him. Okay, we'll be right back. So, are you there, Scott?
I'm here. So you're saying overcome evil with good.
You overcome evil with good.
But you have to have
the good that is not typical, the good that you see as phony good.
But what if you weren't born good and you have to be converted, right?
Well, you need redemption. And the reason why we can be redeemed is because you never committed sin, because the sin was put into you when you were soon after you're born, because of the poison of the atmosphere. The poison of the atmosphere, as the atmosphere becomes more and more poisonous, because the children become more poisoned and doing unto their kids what was done to them, and it gets worse and worse and worse.
Whatever problem Adam have is still in existence in the
atmosphere. Still in existence, multiplying.
I got you. So, but that can be overcome, right?
All of that could be overcome, but in America only, or in England perhaps. But America still has the ability for me to speak the way I am on radio. If I went to England, it's not going to be the case. Hasn't been the case up to now.
Wow. That's,
see, you don't have the right to speak. Listen, just recently in England, after all these years, I had to go to Ireland and France and speak on a ship in the Channel, because you couldn't speak on radio, it was against the law. And now the law is that you can listen to radio, but Roy Masters can only be heard from 10 o'clock onward in the evening. That's it, because it's too painful for other people to listen to. That's it. I'm there, but I'm only have to be there, but I think it's 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock. They only allow me to do my radio program, which is a copy of the program. We send a copy of it to England because we have an extension in England.
And look at the problems they're having over there.
Yeah. This is too difficult for them. The truth is painful to the British people. America, I hope, is not that way. I've been on this air for 55 years, so something good's happening. Okay, thank you very much, Albin. Is you need any more for me?
No, I could go on forever, and I thank you very much.
Well, it's very nice of you to call, and I shall continue babbling away about the same thing when you hang up. Okay, bye. Oh, the address is Post Office Box 1000. Please support the program. Post Office Box, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Post Office Box 1000.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel, like a snowball.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Let me read something to you from one of my pamphlets on loving your enemy. I just opened the program with the first two paragraphs, and that's all it was, and it began to be, you know, people calling in. I said, now let me just start from the middle here. The enemy you are fighting is not a person, they are spirits. For this reason, we must be very mindful how we react or act to their assortment of outrageous injustices. It is true that we should hate evil, which is, say, reject it. But in order to reject it, you must be very careful not to resent the person in whom the poison dwells. The reason is subtle, in that from one root, being upset, of course, springs forth endless branches of suffering, doing unto others what's done to you, and go on and so forth. By resenting, that is, becoming upset, with a being made in the image of God, you are unknowingly tricked into rejecting the Creator Spirit within you, hence conflicts and confusion. In other words, to say that again. So the person is made in the image of God, so the spirit inside that person makes you hate the form. And when you hate the form, it's like hating God, and because you don't know you're hating God, you've been tricked, it gets inside you. You lose the defense mechanism. Okay? So evil operating through its human conduit baits you to hate the person. And by doing so, you become divorced from the ground of your own true being, opening you to penetration. It is impossible to reject evil by hating the person, because you end up embracing it. By hating the person, you open yourself to its agenda, both personal and political, literally responding to its will, and separating all the time from the triumph of good within you, by which means evil might have been overcome. As with God, evil likewise acts through human agency. Unlike God in his divine goodness, evil must infect and so possess the created form in order to act through it by means of some kind of subversion and trickery. Deliberate injustice is a powerful tease, in that it offers the forbidden fruit to puff you up to judgment, which tricks you into falling away from the firm ground of original being from which root might have sprung the all-in-triumphant good. Through successive traumas and seditions and seductions, the resonant malevolent force operating with your oppressor penetrates your defenseless soul, and slowly but surely reprogramming it to do its will on earth as it is in hell. And drugs cannot stop that, only make it worse. drugs, alcohol, whatever it is that you use to calm your tormented nerves and anxieties, mask the symptoms of a struggle for freedom. You cannot win until you've discovered the truth that sets you free. That truth is simply discovering the secret patient response that is no response of any kind at all. Anger and fear represents the degree, a degree of descent towards your enemy, your adversary, excuse me, and thus triggers emboldenment. In other words, when you get upset with people, it emboldens the bully that upset you. And you give power to it, what I'm trying to say there. So you see, the real enemy is never a person, but the spirit in which it lives, acting through one who has been overcome as a helpless change agent. That spirit wants you to hate the person in order to enter through what has become a compliant reaction. Some of your enemies are pathologically wicked that take perverse pleasure in your suffering. Others, as yourself, are traumatically programmed, unable to control their behavior through emotions that they do not know how to govern. Consider that you cannot tell them apart. You must treat them all alike. The ones that are really wicked, you can't tell from those who have been programmed and poisoned. So patient endurance with everybody, being the perfect defense and offense for every occasion. If patients cannot help them, then they cannot affect or hurt you. See? If patients, representing patients, God representing patients in you, cannot help them to be a better person, I'm adding a few extra words, they cannot infect or hurt you. Not possible. There is no need to win this war against evil that dwells in the hearts of men and women. Just don't lose by responding and thus playing the game. You win by not playing the game. So by this I mean don't give way to resentment and anger. Do not allow them to draw first blood and lose, and then you will win. Winning is holding your ground to principle and not losing your cool. Simple. Forbear to give way to rage, because anger and fear-based doubt are two sides of the same coin. Never intimidate or be intimidated, and you will confound the savage beast. Remember, being resentful, angry, annoyed, aggravated, upset, and irritated emboldens bullies. You give power to them. Do not be surprised if they overreact with escalating fierceness. Hold steady as they react to your non-reaction, and will feel as though they've been hit by a brick wall. And so instead of the bad in them penetrating you, the good in you will penetrate their evil and give them a severe case of psychic indigestion and perchance to help them. Bullies are empowered only when you lose, but feel threatened but when as you refuse to play their game. I'll say it again, bullies are empowered only when you lose your cool. See? And they feel threatened when you refuse to play the game. Post Office Box, 1000 Grants Pass, Oregon. I'm not so sure about calling on my phone number. It's best to I can't remember what it. Okay, we'll go. Good night, everybody. I just lost what I wanted to tell you.
Learn how to deal with stress properly, and all of your other problems will begin to fade away.
Thank you for all the truth you said. And since I listen to you regularly, I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars, married. Oh, we are still married almost 30 years. Listening to you, I got so much better as the years passed. Our daughters never did pot, never got drunk, never were promiscuous. Both are married, one to a soldier, one to a Marine. We're that blessed thanks to you waking just one of the parents up.
Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know.